Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. Pastor Nathan here, and we're going to continue today in our series called Anxious for Nothing. And our prayer for you during this time is that God is going to strengthen you. He's going to help you through these anxious times, these times of pressing and trying, and that together we're going to come out stronger and better than ever. So we are walking through this series called Anxious for Nothing. We've looked at anger, we've looked at fear, we've looked at anxiety and wellness. And today we've got a topic for you that honestly I don't want to talk about. I would much rather ignore this. I'd rather it didn't exist. I would rather focus on things that are a little bit happier. But I believe that there's blessing in what we're going to talk about today. I believe that as we look into the face of today's topic, that we're going to find some things in our heart and find some ways that we can trust God at a deeper and deeper level. And as we trust Him, there's going to be blessing. There's going to be rock solid foundations laid in our lives. And we're going to be able to move forward together in strength. The topic of today's talk is grief. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus says this. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." There's such a promise in there. There's such potential in there. And I've never understood or never taken the time to fully work this verse out. But today I would like to do that with you. Today we're going to look at the reality of grief, the work of mourning, and the promise of blessing. During this season, grief is a reality. Grief is this deep feeling of sorrow when we lose something that we love. That's a definition, but for those of us who have experienced it towards a loved one, it's crushing, it's a whirlwind, it's a turmoil, it's a constant, present, nagging lethargy, breathlessness, crushing. But there's also lesser griefs, griefs that happen when we lose lesser things. Our church has experienced kind of both. We've experienced losses of life, losses of loved ones, even two people in our congregation, Lavette Plain and Lawrence Rush, who have gone to be with the Lord during this season. But there's also plenty of other smaller griefs, but I don't want to gloss over them. Just because they're smaller does not invalidate our feelings. Many of us have lost jobs. Many of us have had to cancel our plans. Canceled plans have been a big deal for people. Canceling weddings, canceling graduations, canceling school, canceling our travel. And all of us have had this loss of our normality. The normal everyday rhythms of life have been canceled, crushed, squashed, and we're now locked in together. There's been a lot of loss. There's been a lot of loss. Personally, I mourn for my city. New York City is a place that I love. It's a place that I've chosen to move to. It's a place that I've filled my heart with and said, New York, your problems are my problems. Your pains are my pains. And the city that never sleeps now goes to bed at like 9 o'clock. And I don't recognize it as I walk the streets and there's grief and there's anxiety all over it. There's a sense of hopelessness and I mourn for New York City. I miss it. And I worry about its future. I worry about it coming back. And in this season, it's for us to wrestle with this mourning. It's for us to live in the tension and for us to trust something bigger than New York City or bigger than even our jobs. It's time for us to trust in the Lord. Harvard Business Review came out with an article early on in this pandemic and said this odd feeling that we're feeling is grief. And the article really helped me. It helped me understand and identify my emotions. It recognized that we're experiencing a grief for our sense of normal, a grief for our anticipated future. But amidst the grief and amidst the loss, I believe that God has a blessing for us. Once again, I want us to highlight, blessed are those who mourn. These are not my words. This is not something that I made up. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to conquer sin, death, hell, and the grave. It came to bring us victory. He said, blessed are those who mourn. And by God's grace today, we're going to enter into that blessing together. About a year ago, I had a bad day. It was just a bad day, out of the blue, an emotional blip. Nothing particularly bad happened to me, but I was aloof. I was absent to my family. I found my work disinteresting and unsatisfying. It's just a general grump. And by the time I crawled into bed that night, I was so anxious and caught up in my own thoughts, I couldn't go to sleep. I got up out of bed, and I called my brother John Luke, one of the few people I knew who would be awake at that hour. And as I got on the phone with him, I confessed to myself and to him for the first time that day that I was missing my brother Jordan. That day, about a year ago, was his fourth anniversary of the date that he went to be with the Lord Jesus. And when in that moment, I was able to release those emotions, I was able to confess to my brother how I was feeling. And we sat on the phone and wept for probably 30 minutes to an hour. Finally, after experiencing the emotion, admitting, recognizing, walking, and experiencing, discussing that emotion, I was able to go back to bed and sleep. In order to express our grief, it takes work. We have to do the work of mourning, which is my second point. While grief is reality, we must enter into the work of mourning. Grief is this inner feeling, but mourning is the expression, the outward action of our inner feeling, of sadness, of our inner feeling of loss. It takes work to identify it and work it out. But either way, no matter what we do, our grief is going to come out. Grief is going to find expression in our life, or it's going to find explosion. We're going to either talk it out or we're going to take it out. Unfortunately, my family had a little bit of my grief taken out on them that day. Thankfully, it was mostly passive, mostly just me being a grump, being aloof. But friends, we've got to find a way to identify, talk about, and express our grief in proper, healthy mourning, lest it eat us. Grief is inside of us when we've got losses, great or small, and it's for us to identify them and to work them out. Let's remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Simply being hurt or experiencing grief is not what Jesus blesses. He blesses the expression of those emotions. He blesses when we take those emotions to him and trust him with it. Our qualification for blessing is not being hurt. Our qualification for blessing is trusting him, expressing those emotions, and bringing those before him. It's bringing our hurt to God that allows us to get in line for the blessings that God wants to bring in our lives as we walk in emotional wholeness, as we walk in emotional healing. We need to be okay in this season with not being okay. Not being okay is okay right now. Experiencing loss and having grief and mourning the weddings and mourning the friends that we want to see and mourning our family that we haven't seen in months, it is okay and proper to do that in this season. It's also got to be okay for our friends to be in mourning. It also has to be okay for our spouse and those that are trapped in our homes with us to also be in mourning. My children are expressing a lot of their emotions negatively right now, and I need to understand and recognize what some of that is. They've not had another playmate for over 2 months. They've not been able to go out and experience new things outside of themselves. Our home is a little bit boring right now. And I need to be okay with them not being okay. That doesn't mean I let them get away with their bad attitudes. But that means that I extend to them as much grace as the Lord Jesus Christ has extended to me, which is so much grace. During this season, it's okay. But it's not okay to explode our feelings out. It's not okay to bottle our feelings in. What we have to do is we have to talk it out, not take it out. We have to express it, not explode it. During the season, I've definitely talked to a lot of people who are actually doing very well. And during this time, I please do not want to add to you any survivor's guilt or any doing well guilt. I've talked to so many people who are like, Nathan, my job is up. Things are going great. Please don't tell anybody. Don't worry. I'm not telling on you. Just kidding. I'm not going to tell on you. But please don't feel guilty for that. Please don't feel guilty for that. Perhaps this message is to encourage you when you do experience grief. Or perhaps this message is for you to take in and be able to help somebody else in this season. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says this. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And today I'd like to do that with each of you. I want to celebrate those of you who are doing well. I am so thrilled that our roots are going deeper, that the fruit of our lives is getting richer and more beautiful than ever. Some of us are truly thriving during this time. But also there are those of us who are really suffering. And for those of you who are doing well, my encouragement is, would you also join me in weeping with those who weep, getting in those lives and absorbing some of that pain. I've heard it said that a joy expressed is doubled and a grief shared is halved. Would you get into somebody's life and have their grief with them like my brother did for me? He let me express my grief and work out my mourning, and he halved my sorrows that night. You can also do the same as we weep with those who weep. Here's some of my tips for us as we help support people who are walking through grief. My first tip is, let's try not to minimize anybody's pain. It's their pain. It's their sorrow. Please don't use words like, oh, I know, or anything like, yeah, but at least, you know, this worst thing didn't happen. Their pain is their pain in this time. Don't try to minimize it. Also, please don't try to rush people's pain. We don't get over grief. We move through grief. You might look at me and say, Nathan, you're still crying about your brother who passed away 4 years ago? I certainly did. And my friends, I want to encourage you. I certainly do. It's even ongoing at times. I want to encourage you that grief is in no way a sign of weakness. As a fact of the matter, grief is proportionate to the size of our love for something. Love is a sign of strength. Love is a sign of connection. Love is an identification with God Almighty, who God is love. In fact, Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died, even though Jesus knew he was about to call him right out of that grave. Jesus is a magnanimous. God is a magnanimous God who loves and is generous. And when we love things, even if it's just a good meal, we are like our Lord, celebrating the things that he's created, celebrating the friendships that he's given us. And so grief is not at all a sign of weakness. It's in fact a sign of love and strength. So please don't rush people through their pain. The third encouragement I'd have for us is, please don't preach to people when they express their pain. I recently was at a pastor's kind of prayer meeting here in the city, and I expressed some of my pain over not being near some friends of mine who I left in the UK about 4 years ago. And he proceeded to preach at me and tell me all the things that I should be doing and tell me how God is my friend and this and that. And it didn't help me in that moment. In fact, I walked away with a new person to forgive that day. I got to be a little bit more like Jesus in my forgiveness that day. So my friends, please, let's not preach at each other. I know we want to encourage each other, but don't tell people what they should do, I suppose, in that moment. Instead, here's some ways that we can, unless, of course, you offer them humbly. You know, this is something that I found helpful. Here's what we can do, though. We can share our pains. We can share our personal pains. We can share how we've experienced loss and tragedy. It's a way of seeing their pain. I remember that 4 a.m. call that I received when I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, that let me know that my brother had gone to be with the Lord. Immediately after I received that horrendous call, I received a call from my pastor, Jim LaFoon. And he gave me his condolences and let me know how sorry he was. And then he told me a surprising thing about his life that he shared publicly, so I believe I can share it here. It's that early on in his life, he also lost a brother. I had no idea. I look at Pastor Jim and think, this is the man of God. He would never experience, except that grief is a reality. It's a reality for all of us. And knowing that he had walked through the same pain gave me such strength in that moment. Additionally, we can just be present, just turning up. The first couple of chapters of Job, it's just his friends coming and sitting with him. I believe that they did the best thing that they could there. Just sat with him. Sat with him for a long time. And certainly when I lost my brother, I had some friends that came over to my house and just sat with us. ate junk food, talked, cried, laughed, cried. They were just present. Again, we don't get over our grief, but we move through it. And as we move through it, we move into finding the promise of blessing. And today I would like to bring to you, highlight to you from Scripture, at least five blessings. And this is in no way comprehensive, but I was like, God, Jesus, you're sitting on this hill with a diverse group of people, and you said, blessed are those who mourn. What's the blessing? Jesus, it sounds so tone deaf. I mean, here are subsistence farmers and people who have life expectancies of around 40 years. Jesus, how could you say, blessed are those who mourn? But God starts to show us through His Scripture exactly how mourning, proper grief expressed, given to the heart of God, trusted with our good Father, can in fact yield for us an extraordinary blessing. Here are my top five. The first one is that grief brings growth. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Friends, there is no growth without grief. Growth requires change, and change requires loss. And when we lose something that's valuable to us, it produces grief. If we're going to grow, we're going to grieve. God has designed us, however, to be anti-fragile. Anti-fragile is the opposite of something that's fragile, something that's easily broken. And in fact, when something that's anti-fragile experiences trauma, it doesn't get weaker, it gets stronger. And you have been designed to take the knocks of life and not get weaker, but get stronger through it. Grief brings growth. The second is that there's a nearness to God that comes through mourning. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 2 points to Jesus, who will be the one who binds up the brokenhearted and comforts those who mourn. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says this, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. God wants to draw near to us in our time of mourning. He wants you to experience the blessing of His sweet presence in this time. The third is that we can experience the comfort of Christ. God just doesn't want to be near us, but He also wants to comfort us in our time of mourning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All comfort comes from Him, who comforts us in all of our afflictions. Whatever your affliction is today, God wants to comfort you, and He's the source of all of our comfort. And it doesn't just stop with us. It's so that we may also comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted by God. For we share abundantly in Christ's suffering so that through Christ we may share abundantly in comfort too. Christ wants to comfort us in this time. And here's something that I've learned from experience. Comfort is better than being comfortable. Christ's comfort is greater than being comfortable. I don't remember my comfortable days, but I do remember my comforted days. When Jesus comes and binds up the broken heart, when Jesus comes and hugs me and lets me know He's there and lets me know He holds the future, those are the days that I remember. Those are the days that bring growth. Those are the days that I go back to when I need to be encouraged. Those are the days that I go back to when I need to encourage others. Friends, comfort is better than comfortable. The fourth way that I believe that God wants to bless us through our mourning is that He gives us a hunger for the eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18 says this, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for these light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. When we experience present pain, it pushes our eyes onto something greater. It gets our eyes off of the things that we own and the things that we want. It gets our eyes off of our momentary losses and our transient pains and pushes us into hunger for the eternal. It pushes us into something hunger for greater. I can attest to this personally. In the passing of my brother and other griefs that I've experienced, it pushes me on to the eternal truths of God. It makes me hungry to meet with Him and experience that weight of glory, that pressing down of God's presence upon us. I can't wait. And I know that our present pains are producing for us eternal weight of God's glory. The fifth blessing that it brings to us is it brings to us the power of victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass what is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Death is swallowed up in victory. Victory wants to ingest our pain. The victory of Jesus Christ is going to metabolize the pain that we experience today, which means that the pain that we experience today is giving energy, sustenance, and size to the victory of our Lord Jesus. When victory swallows up pain, the more pain we give the victory of Christ, the greater the victory is. C.S. Lewis says this, that they say of some temporal suffering, quote, no future bliss can make up for it, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into glory. God is going to turn our agony into glory. And the more agony we've gone through, the more pain that we've gone through, the more grief we've expressed in mourning, He's going to turn that in to a beautiful victory for you. It is time to trust the Lord. It's time to give Him and bring Him our sorrows, to trust Him with our griefs, to express those griefs properly in mourning to the Lord. It's okay if it's little things. It's okay if you're mourning the loss of not being able to see a friend or having to cancel those dinner reservations or those Broadway tickets, which my wife and I did have to cancel about 2 months ago. It's okay to mourn those things. But let's bring them to God. Trust Him. Trust Him with the little things and the great big things. And we're going to see His blessings come to pass in our lives. I want to end with this scripture. Psalm chapter 26 says this, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in shouts of joy. He who goes out in weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bring his sheaves with him." I believe that God has blessing for us, not despite our pain, but because of our pain. Not despite of our weeping during this season, but because of our weeping during this season. When we remain faithful to sow into the works of God, to join with Him in the comforting of others, to give into the work of the church, to dig in to loving and blessing the city, God has fruit and faithfulness and harvest for us here in this city. I am looking forward to the elevation that is going to come to each of us through the blessings of God as we remain faithful to Him and faithful in the post that He's given us here in this city. I'm looking forward to the promotions, to the new jobs, the new initiatives for justice and mercy and education and the amazing projects that are going to come out of you, this church. God is going to bring us in to a fruitful season, not despite this pain, but because of it, not despite our weeping, but because of it. There is blessing as we mourn. So today we looked at the reality of grief, the work of mourning, and the promise of blessing. If you've not taken the step of faith to trust God with your whole life, if you're not sure about what happens in the future or on the other side of death, today is a great day to give your life to the Lord, to trust Him wholeheartedly with all of who you are. I'm going to pray and give you this opportunity to trust God and get to know Him personally as your Lord and Savior. Father God, thank You for Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy towards us. God, thank You that You hold the universe together by the word of Your power and that we can trust You even in our darkest moments. God, we want to bring our lives to You, to trust You fully and wholly with them. We trust You with our mistakes. We trust You with our pains. We trust You with our hopes. And God, we ask that You would turn us in Your hand. Hold us. Hold us fast. Keep us in yourself. Lord, I pray that you'd save us and bring us wholly to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to send you over to Pastor Bruce, who's going to pray with you and close us out.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.